This is the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, episode 113. Good day and welcome to this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, podcaster, and author of Fun Fantasy Reads, Jamie Davis. This podcast is exactly what the title says it is, folks. It's a podcast focused on everything to do with fantasy and even some sci-fi books. Whether we look at epic fantasy, space opera, urban fantasy, swords and sorcery, you name it, anything we can think of in the fantasy and sci-fi book world, we have here on the show. So you can expect to find the best and brightest authors from all the various corners of the fantasy and sci-fi book world here. Kicking off things this week, I'll start with my own author update. I've just started writing Huntress Defender, book 6 in the Huntress Clan saga. I'm really excited about it. We're going to be getting Quinn Faust and her colleagues into some fun adventures in this book. Book 5, Huntress Adept, will be due out in just about a month, and I can't wait to get that out for folks. Stay tuned to my Facebook group for updates, including sneak peeks at upcoming covers, special giveaways, and a lot more. Just look up Jamie's Fun Fantasy Readers over on Facebook. And also, don't forget to catch up with me over at my website and blog at jamiedavisbooks.com. Either place, I look forward to hearing from you. You can reach out to me on my contact form or leave a comment on any of the posts over in the Facebook group. I'd love to hear from you, and I do get back to everybody, so please feel free to check in. Okay, let's go ahead and get into this week's featured guest. Katie Cherry is back joining us to chat about her Crystal Dragon series. She just released the first 3 books in a box set, so you can get them all for one low price. And she's also pretty excited about her upcoming project. So we're going to talk about all of that, her writing, and more in this interview with Katie coming up next. Katie Cherry, it is great to have you back on the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So why don't you give us a quick update on you? People can go back and check out your original episode for the full background info, but maybe just a quick introduction for folks that maybe didn't catch that original episode.
All right. So I'm Katie Cherry. I'm 23. I've been writing since I was like 13, but publishing since the end of 2018. So I'm still a pretty new author, but have been delving into stories for quite a while now. I write fantasy. I'm kind of obsessed with dragons. So far all of my books have dragons in them. Let's see what else. I'm kind of a boring person, so I don't have a lot of hobbies, but that's my author profile there, I guess, is just I love dragons and fantasy. And that's what I write.
You know, I don't call loving dragons and fantasy and writing books boring at all. I think that's just totally awesome, but maybe I'm just biased.
True, but I guess outside of that.
No, it's all good. So let's talk a little bit about the series, because we know we talked about it before, but, you know, it's exciting to kind of put out this omnibus edition of the first 3 books in the series, kind of bringing people in, you know, for a low price, getting them into the series, kind of introduced all at once. Tell us a little bit about what happens to our main character as she gets transported into Zylphiria, which is, you know, of course, a place that's filled with all sorts of mythical creatures, including dragons.
Yes, it is. In case, you know, couldn't figure that out from my intro that I love dragons. Of course, there's dragons in it. Let's see. It's the main character, Crystal. She grew up in our world where magic isn't real, but she gets taken to Zylphiria where it is real. And she is told that she has to participate in what they call the games. These aren't like the Hunger Games, though lots of people draw similarities because it's called the games. But nobody's like really dying. They're just competing. I mean, it is really dangerous and they could die, but they're not fighting each other. They have these challenges that they go through that are designed to help them grow into what they call gifts, which are basically like superpowers, but they get them by connecting to the magic of the realm. So through these trials, they connect to the realm and develop these gifts. And the reason is because they're looking for their lost prince and princess, and the royal family develops more gifts. So she finds out that she's their lost princess. She has a connection to the dragons because of it, and just her duties grow from there, and she has to go and try to find her lost brother through the other six realms. And yeah, she goes with her best friend Nathan that she meets in book one, and they get through a lot of adventures, discover that there's a lot of bad guys out there, and they have to kind of overcome all of that.
Now, you're re-releasing all these books through Fallbrant Press, and so people can actually get all six of the first books? All six of the books are coming out through like July or the end of the summer, is that correct?
Yes, they should all be out by the end of September.
Awesome.
All seven.
Seven books. Okay. Even better.
Yes.
Now, is this the end of the Crystal Dragon series, or is there going to be more in the saga coming up, beyond book seven? Do you have more planned for this particular series adventure?
Yes. So this will be a complete series, a complete arc through book seven. But I am planning a sequel series of sorts with Crystal's kids in the future.
Well, that sounds exciting.
Yes, they are going to have extra power because plot armor, I guess. But it'll be really exciting for readers to revisit the world and see it through fresh eyes once again, but still be able to see Crystal there as well.
You know, I've done similar things in a couple of series where I've had children of main characters come back, and it was always a lot of fun exploring it through a different set of eyeballs, you know, and a different character's mindset, because, especially someone who's been raised differently than their parent was. So, you know, especially her kids are aware of this magical world. So I'm assuming they were raised within it, so they have a different viewpoint of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And by the end of the series, all of the realms will be more connected. So they will be people actually traveling back and forth more regularly. And so it'll be more normal. So we'll have to explore new things besides visiting new realms, because they won't be new anymore. Everybody will know about all of the realms.
What's it like for you building a rich, diverse world, because you have all of these realms that are connected to each other and each of them are very different from the others?
Well, Zilfuria was easy. It's a kind of classic medieval fantasy setting. And from there, I just kind of went as extreme as I could in every direction. So Qui-Gon is like super just full of water. It's basically just, let's see what an adventure would be like in the ocean, and then the desert, and then a rainforest, and then just this world that is so full of magic that things are just insane and crazy and not working right. And then there's our world, and then there's kind of a sci-fi world where there's even more technology than we have here, flying cars and everything like that.
Finally, so the flying cars.
Yes.
You know, I'm one of those people who thought I would have a flying car by now. Growing up, I was like, oh, they'll have flying cars by that time. Nope, 2020, no flying cars, no hovering skateboards, none of that stuff. So.
Yeah, Back to the Future lied to us.
They did. I know. But it's fun. It's fun, I'm sure, to experience and explore kind of a science fiction world, you know, that advanced technology thing, alongside a magical interface as well. How do you meld the two?
Well, there's not a lot of melding because the realm is so technologically advanced because there's no magic, so they had to kind of make up for it somehow, and that happened through technology. And that's why we don't have magic here either, is because, well, not because we have technology, it's kind of the opposite, but we don't have magic here, so we have technology. First Earth has even less magic, and so they have more technology. I think there was more to your question, but I forgot it.
No, it's okay. I mean, I like exploring the ideas and how your magic system works. And, you know, there has to be rules, and we as authors kind of have to come upon them, either building it up front and really exploring it all before we start writing, or, as I like to do, exploring my magical rules as I go along, which can be done. A lot of people tell me I'm crazy, but I don't break the rules that I've made already. And I have very specific ideas for limitations on what magic can and can't do in my various stories. But it is still, you know, interesting to kind of look at how technology and magic work together or don't work together, as the case may be. It sounds more like they don't kind of interface very much in your world.
Yeah, I mean, they might in the sub-series when magic is kind of flowing freely through all the realms, so that'll be something that I'll probably explore there. But yeah, at the moment, it's just one or the other.
Yeah, and I've kind of looked at I've looked at the idea of technology suppressing magic, that there's something about the advent of prevalent electricity that suppresses the magical energy of nature. And so, you know, that's one of the ways I've come about explaining how technology seems to not operate around magic and vice versa, because they can't work together because one suppresses the other's energy source. So that's been one way I've approached it. But, you know, it's interesting to see all the different ways that authors come up with these things. And it's one of the things I enjoy most about reading fantasy books, is because fantasy by definition pretty much includes some sort of magical forces or magical creatures. And, you know, everybody has their own twist on that.
Yeah. And I like yours that they, you know, don't work together very well. And that makes sense, because, I mean, when we build things as humans, it cuts into nature. And so that would make sense that our technology is doing the same to magic, if you consider it like a nature magic. That makes a lot of sense. I like that.
Yeah, I actually really dug into that in the Broken Throne series, where, you know, like nature's actually failing. And it's kind of a look at how we've destroyed the world and we live in now in some ways. But it is basically that humans were supposed to give magic back at some point, and they didn't. And so the natural forces never got the ability to protect themselves. And so the whole world's failing, and it's magic's fault. And so that's kind of what I did kind of look at there. It's just fun. And excuse me. And the way we kind of come up with these things is, you know, we call it world building and we call it magic systems. But to the reader, you know, the important thing is to make it seem believable and natural almost. And I think that's a trick that we all kind of work at in the course of writing our books. Do you agree?
Definitely. Yeah. Luckily, that's easy for me because I've lived in fantasy in my mind more often than reality. So it's easy for me to believe that my worlds are real, which I think makes my readers believe it more too.
Well, yeah, and it has to make sense in some way. I mean, you have to give them, almost have to give them something real from our world to tie it to. You know, you know, they can understand. They can understand how, let's say, a crossbow works. So if you have a magical crossbow that loads itself, they can understand that. You know, you kind of have to give them a basis of understanding so that it's not too much of a stretch that things happen the way they do. You know, so it's kind of, and then this happens in science fiction. I mean, you know, Star Wars is basically space fantasy, and you know, there is magic there. The Force is magical and has its own ability to do things. And, you know, Lucas had to explain all that. So I think it's something we all kind of struggle with on one level or another.
Yeah, you definitely have to have some kind of element of reality in the fantasy, for sure.
So you've got this next series planned, and you're kind of, are you going to really just focus on writing in this whole, you know, universe that you've created so that pretty much everything you write will come from there? Or do you have other ideas for different projects floating around in your head? I mean, I know lots of people do it different ways, but I'm always amazed at those writers who create such rich worlds that they can explore, it seems, infinitely through the various parts of them.
Yeah, if you wanted to, you could do that forever. Once the world is made, just pick a new character every time, and then there's a new story to be told. But I don't think I'll be focusing on this world for too much, probably just the two series. I mean, it might demand more. We'll see. It kind of tells me what to do. But I have lots of plans for other things too. So if I do, it'll still be with other ideas interspersed. Mostly fantasy, just like straight up like fantasy with like elves. And I'm going to start doing more high fantasy. Most of my books will still have dragons because still dragon obsessed, but going to branch out a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I just wrote not the first dragon, but the first dragon is a sort of a main character in one of my books recently. And the dragon just hatched, as a matter of fact. But I had to wait until the right story came along to bring dragons into the story. I know a lot of authors that always try to work dragons in like you do. Lindsay Baroker is another one that does that. We've had her on the show. Of course, you have classics like Anne McCaffrey's and her Dragon Rider series. And everybody kind of approaches dragons from a different sense. Do you like all the permutations of dragons, or do you have a more classical sense of what and who dragons are?
Well, actually, I have lots of different kinds of dragons in this series. In Zylfiria, they're your classic four-legged, winged, fire-breathing, scaly beasts. And they do talk with their minds. So they are intelligent, and that is a common theme with all of the dragons in the series, is that they are intelligent and they talk with their mind because they're not really built to talk like people, because that's actually not very common in nature. You don't see people with jaws and vocal cords like we have. But in Qui-Gon, I have water dragons that live under the water, so they're obviously built differently than the ones that go in the sky. I have rock dragons. I have like fairy dragons. They're like little, they're smaller with like more dragonfly like wings and just, yeah, more like fairies mixed with dragons. And so I kind of explore lots of different kinds of dragons.
That's so much fun though. I mean, you get to kind of play with it every way you want to, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, everybody can come up with, go ahead and go for it.
That's great. Katie, I noticed that you like to play video games. What are you playing right now that's got caught your eye?
Well, I like to play first-person shooters generally. So right now I used to do Destiny, but it's gotten kind of monotonous a little bit. So I've started playing Apex Legends, which is... it's like a PvP with other players. You just land, you find your loot, and then you basically have a shootout. And I discovered I was better at it than I thought I would be, and so I immediately like fell in love. I was like, nice, I'm good at this. Let's kill some people.
Oh, that's awesome. It's funny, my son has a Twitch channel where he streams like almost every day something, after he gets home from work. He gets on there in the evenings and streams himself and my daughter-in-law playing Apex, and sometimes a couple of other friends he brings on as well. So it's always, I every now and then I see it pop up in my YouTube feed and I'll check it out. I'm no good at PvP or first person shooters at all. So I marvel at people that are good at those things.
Yeah, I find it lots of fun. I guess I have good reflexes or else it would be much more frustrating.
I'm much more, I like those games where I can pause. just stop the action for a second and gather my wits. Although I like the Assassin's Creed games, those are fun, but I think primarily I like those because I'm a history buff and there's so much history and lore written into those stories that they just intrigue me. But I think that's why my kids get annoyed with me when they watch me play, because I'm the guy like going into the building and looking at the architecture. So they're like, "Dad, haven't you completed the quest yet?" No, I got wrapped up doing this. And so it's just fun. Very cool. Well, Katie, it's great having you on the show. Why don't you tell us where folks can find you and your books and how they can catch up with you if they have any questions or want to just chat or have comments with you?
There are lots of ways to reach me. Now that I'm with Fallbrandt, I actually have a lot of links for how to reach me on their site. But I am on Facebook primarily. With my profile, though I don't accept a lot of like random friend requests because of scammers and such, but I have a Facebook page and a Facebook group as well that are free for anybody to join. So the Facebook page is Katie Cherry Fantasy, pretty easy to remember. And the group is Katie Cherry's Bookworms, worms being like dragons, like W-Y-R-M-S. So I'm also on Twitter and Instagram once in a while. I'm not very heavy there, and my newsletter especially gets a lot of attention as well. Send those out twice a month, and then people also get a free book for signing up for the newsletter. So start giving freebies right away, and then I write little stories every month for my newsletter peeps as well.
Oh, that's so cool. I know people love getting those kind of things. I don't write as many as I probably should, but I generally give out about 2 short stories or so a year. It's usually like one around the holidays and one in the summertime. And it's always received very well by my readers. So I'm sure folks that'll check you out will enjoy that as well, even more because they get more stuff. So Katie, thanks a lot. I'll have links to all those things in the show notes for this episode. So I urge people to come by fantasy-focus.com where you can find the links for everything that we talked about and Katie's books and Katie's site and Facebook group and everything. So thanks for coming on the show again and best of luck on the releases and your future projects.
Thank you very much.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast. Make sure you catch up with us for a whole lot more from the fantasy and sci-fi focused community, both here on Facebook or over at fantasy-focus.com. Leave a comment on this episode and let me know what's on your mind. Also, while you're over on our website, make sure you check out our podcast episodes and subscribe to the show. There's a subscription links, a series of them, available for you below the audio player at the top of each episode post. And that's great because that gives you an opportunity to subscribe to the show on your favorite mobile apps for iOS, Android. You can even subscribe by email if you want. And that's a good thing because we've got some great authors lined up for you. You won't want to miss any of them. Our next episode includes the pretty cool Darian Smith, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy that one. So I'm looking forward to that one coming out next. That's it for this episode of the Books and Authors Fantasy Podcast, though. As always, I'm your host, Jamie Davis, author of Fun Fantasy Reads. Don't forget, follow me over on Facebook at Jamie Davis Books and at my website, jamiedavisbooks.com, where if you want, you can get a free book. All you have to do is head over there, just say, "I want to get a free book," and give me your email address so I can get that to you, and I'll send you a free copy of one of my ebooks. Whatever you do, though, subscribe. Come back here for the next podcast. And in the meantime, don't forget to keep your eyes open, folks, because there's magic all around you.